Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Page 1304 in your old Scofield Reference Bible, Hebrews 12, 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. In other words, all those been born again, of all churches, which are written in heaven. That's salvation, get your name written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless His word to our hearts today. Father, we thank You for already, Lord, just passing by one more time here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Lord, we've already felt the good Spirit of God in the singing and in our worship already together. Lord, how good it is for the brethren, Your children, to meet together and the Lord meet with them. And we thank You one more time You've met with us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I pray, Lord, around the world, wherever Your people meet in sincerity, I pray You'd bless Your children today and Your preachers around the world. Lord, we think of Scotty and Gloria there in New Guinea, and think of Graham and Renee down in Brazil, and Julie in Mexico, and Harry and Mercer out there in British Columbia. Lord, others of our people that have left this church out serving the Lord in various capacities. Gary down there in South Carolina, and Guy and Robert over in Missouri, I believe it is. And I pray You'd bless all of our people away from here serving the Lord today. Bless on these grounds and here in this auditorium, and bless in children's churches and preschool. And Lord, would You meet with them over there? Bless Your people as we're gathered together in this place. Lord, help us to get our minds on Calvary this morning, on the cross on which Jesus died, from which flowed that crimson flow that from His veins is rich royal red blood that bought our salvation. Help us. May this grip us today. And may the Holy Spirit show somebody that Jesus paid the price for their sins and shed His blood. Redemption has been accomplished. All they have to do is receive what Jesus did, and they're saved forevermore. Open the hearts of somebody that's, Lord, that's in sin, in darkness, not a child of God. Open their heart to the truth today that there's salvation by a look at the cross of Calvary today. And may they come out of themselves, out of their sin, and come to Jesus today and be saved before they leave. Anoint me now as I preach, and may we all look to Thee, defeat the devil, and remove hindering spirits, I pray today. Make it easy for people to come down this aisle, this altar, to Jesus and to heaven when the invitation's given. And we'll thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I'm told that a few years ago at the Great World's Fair in Chicago, that in conjunction with the fair, there was a meeting of all the religions of the world. And as they were congregated, I guess all religions were supposed to just give a brief summary of their religion, their religious precepts. And an old-fashioned Bible-believing preacher by the name of Dr. Cook was there, one of those representing Christianity. And he stood up and attempted to show the superiority of Christianity over all of the other world religions. He quoted Lady Macbeth from Shakespeare's great work. And he stood there and said, and he brought her to the platform. He said, listen to her, Lady Macbeth, as she stands there, a murderer with blood on her hands. And as she looks at her hand, saying, out, damn spot, out, I say. Then Dr. Cook said, Are there any religions here today who can cleanse the hands of Lady Macbeth? Are there any religions who can cleanse her from murder, can remove the guilt from her hands? Who among you, what religion among us today can cleanse her hands of this, what she called, damnable spot? And one of the religions stood up and he said that I could have helped her have peace of mind in spite of her spots, but he said, in our religion, we don't have a remedy for this cleansing. And then another said, if I could have talked to her beforehand, I maybe could have helped her to keep her from sinning. And then Dr. Cook said, is there any other religion who has a remedy for the cleansing of this damned spot for which she cried for removal? Who can remove it? He asked the other world's religions. Who can get this guilt and this sin off her hands? And no religion there had the answer. And finally, this man of God said, Christianity has the remedy. Then he said, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. And I thank God this morning there is a remedy for all sin. I don't care how much sin you've ever committed. I don't care how black or how little the sin is. You can't remove the spot yourself from your life, the sins you have committed in the past. But there is a remedy. And we who are saved, we have a remedy for sin. And that sin is, that remedy is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the remedy for all sin. Now there's a lot of controversy today over the blood of Jesus Christ. Now this is so important. This doctrine of the blood is so important that we must be right on the blood here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist. If we're wrong on the blood, we'll miss it altogether. And there, I believe, at least three, there's other main errors, but three main errors that come across my mind today as we that I detect. First of all, there's the slaughterhouse religion error. Some liberals, not brothers, but friends, may laugh at the old-time religion. They'll call us who believe that it takes the blood for cleansing. It takes the blood to get to heaven. They call that slaughterhouse religion. And they belittle salvation through the sacrifice Jesus made on Calvary's cross. So that's the first error. Then another error that has come out recently, and it's an old error really, but it's just been revamped lately. One of the nation's top radio preachers in California stirred the wrath of many of God's people recently when he started teaching that the blood is just symbolic. He said the blood is just the symbol of the death. And when the Bible speaks of blood, it just refers to death. And he said, I'm not saved by his bleeding, but by his dying. That's false. If he's saved, I got news for him, he's saved by his bleeding as well as his dying. That takes both, not just one. If Jesus had died of poison, according to God's economy, he wouldn't have provided it for our salvation. If they would have hit Jesus over the head or bruised him and he'd have died of internal injuries, that wouldn't have satisfied God's economy. God plainly says in his word, Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood is no remission. No remission. No forgiveness of sins outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, outside of blood. But then there is another error that in the long run may be more damaging than any other error, and that is the silence error. Silence. There are many who believe God's Word teaches the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross cleanses of all sin, but they're silent because of what Galatians 5:11 calls the offense of the cross. There is shame attached to the old rugged cross. There's a shame. And a lot of people don't want the offense. Down at work, or down at school, many people don't want the offense of people knowing that they're born again, a child of God, and on their way to heaven. Folks, they ought to be ashamed, not us. You ought not be ashamed at work or at school that you're saved on your way to heaven. But we shouldn't be ashamed to boldly proclaim a blood-bought salvation. A lot of people are ashamed because they want to be considered intellectual. They are afraid these liberals or the academia might say we're a fundamentalist if we believe in the blood-bought salvation. And a lot of saved people today who get off on the academic side, one of the worst things in the world is to be considered shallow academically. But we should never be ashamed of the old rugged cross, because there was where the blood of Jesus Christ was shed and our Savior died and He wrought salvation for us. As the songwriter says, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. And we should always glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. But now, for weeks, it seems that Hebrews 12:24 has been on my heart, where it says, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and of the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And I want to take that verse this morning and preach to you for a few minutes on the speaking blood. The speaking blood. There is so much that we have in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we who are saved. And by the way, you who are not saved, you have this if you just receive Christ. Then when you come to Christ, you get under the blood, and then all of these benefits can be yours. But the blood speaks of justification for a child of God. Romans 3:24-25 says, we are justified freely by His grace through faith in His blood. Faith in the finished work of Calvary brings justification in the sight of God. And also, the blood speaks of peace. People want peace of heart, mind, and soul. And there can only come lasting peace through the blood of Jesus. Colossians 1:20 says that Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. Then also the blood speaks of forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You can have all these and many other things through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, let me just emphasize four things about the speaking blood. First of all, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, His blood that was shed speaks first of all and primarily about salvation. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross provided, when he came to this earth, He came for the purpose of providing salvation for sinful man through His bleeding and dying on Calvary's cross. God said in His word thousands of years ago in Leviticus 17:11. Now get this, and you'll see why Jesus had to come and shed His precious blood. Because, see, folks, God established many hundreds and thousands of years ago that there can only be forgiveness of sins through the shed blood. Death and shed blood for covering for sins and cleansing for sin. Many thousands of years ago, Leviticus 17:11, God said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood, that maketh an atonement for your soul. The only way your sins can be atoned for in the sight of God is through the blood. And Old Testament, sinning Israelites would have to come constantly with the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and pigeons and doves and offer these sacrifices for a covering for their sins. And their sins were atoned for when a life of that sacrificial animal was sacrificed in their place and for their sins. The blood was shed And then when the blood was shed, their sins was atoned for and they were reconciled before God. Now God sent his son 2,000 years ago and he came as the Lamb of God, God's sacrificial lamb. And he came as a sacrifice once and for all. And he died and shed his blood on Calvary's cross for man's sins. And 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." There is no other way to be saved this morning except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, get this. I thought this morning when I found out we had a good crowd in Sunday school today, over 900, that's good. But you know what I said? I said, "Lord, that's a good crowd and I appreciate it. But I'd much rather see somebody get saved and the Holy Spirit open their heart and them come to Jesus and get saved and get under the blood as have a good crowd." Because in eternity, it won't matter we had a crowd this morning. But in eternity, it will matter if we can get people under the blood. So the main purpose of this church is not to have a big crowd. But I'd like to see this is a good crowd. And I appreciate it. And I'd like to see every seat from front to back filled. But the most important thing, folks, is not get a seat full, but get people under the blood. That's more important. And we need to understand that church membership cannot save. I don't care what church you're a member of today. It doesn't matter in God's sight. The only thing that matters, are you under the blood? Is your name written down in heaven? Getting your name on a church book won't get you to heaven. You better understand that. You better get in right relationship with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And then your good works can't save you. You listen, God says that every one of your good works are filthy rags in his sight. You can't live good enough to get to heaven. So you're in bad shape. You can't live good enough to get to heaven. You're going to just have to come to Jesus and let his blood cleanse you from all sin and go to heaven a blood-washed, born-again child of God. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Your good works can't save you. And your baptism can't save you. We're going to have a baptismal. There's another church coming in this afternoon. We're going to have a baptismal service tonight. But until you come to Jesus Christ and receive him and get under the blood, I can take you in that baptistry and baptize you. You'll go under the water, a dry sinner, and come out a wet one unless you get under the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, folks, you better get under the blood this morning. And if you're ever saved, and if you're ever going to get to heaven, you're going to have to come to Christ and trust him as your Savior. And when you do, God will save you on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Do what you please. Think what you please. Say what you please. But there's no salvation for your never-dying soul outside of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Let's look at something else the blood speaks about today. And naturally, I could preach weeks and weeks on all these items, but I'm just going to just try to sum up of just three or four things the blood speaks about today. The blood also, this morning, speaks about our sanctification. Our sanctification. Look right across the page there if you still have your Bible open to Hebrews 13, verse 12. Hebrews 13, verse 12. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Why did Jesus suffer and bleed and die? So he could sanctify his people. Sanctification means make pure, make clean, make holy, wash, purify. That's the idea of sanctification. Revelation 1:5 says, "He, Jesus, washed us from our sins in his own blood." And 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That word cleanseth there, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That word cleanseth is an interesting word. And 1 John 1:7 is written to Christians. Though the principle applies to the unsaved, it's primarily to Christians. God's word say the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. That's present, continuous action. Now, naturally, a person who's been saved, it has been cleansed from all our past sins too. But it's primarily talking about our daily life here. So in 1 John 1:7 is talking to saved people. And we can just keep on. The blood of Jesus Christ just keeps on cleansing from all sin. When we come to Christ, however, first of all of our sins in the past are cleansed. And then when we come to Christ, then daily his blood is effective and effectually working in our behalf. And it's constantly cleansing us. And then the idea here in 1 John 1:7 is not future, but it's constantly just cleansing. But it also will mean that our future sins are going to be cleansed also. Psalm 103:2 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So the devil may want to bother you about your past sin. If you're saved this morning, your sins have been removed from you as far as sin. Now this way is the east as well. You're west, I guess, or somewhere like that. God's removed your transgressions far from you as the east is from the west. And you go east and you go west, and the twain never meet. That's how far the Lord has removed the transgressions from a child of God according to the Word of God. And you might say, preacher, I know the Lord's forgiven my past sins, but my day-by-day sins bother me. They rob me of my failures, and the devil blindsides me, and I'll think of wrong thought and say a wrong thought and do that which I know is wrong before I think about it, I'm doing that which, and that bothers me, preacher. It robs me of my happiness and my joy. What is the answer? The answer is still in 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. And it's talking to a child of God now. Now keep this in mind, Christian. This will help you every day. Even though a child of God is not perfect, and even though we might slip and sin, the devil might blindside us, still our standing, we're under the blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, God's son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And Christian, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you this morning, and you can rest in the assurance of that. Our past, our present, and then on out in the future, all of our sins, when we get under the blood, will be taken care of. I'll tell you, a child of God's got it made when he gets under the blood. Just get under the blood. And if you are not under the blood this morning, you're out away from God. You're outside of the ark of safety. You have no hope in this life or in the life to come. A child of God under the blood. You say, preacher, well, I can see how the blood of Christ cleanses from past and maybe even present sins, but I can't understand how the blood of can cleanse us from all of our future sins. It's already, I've got it made. A Christian's got it made. My future sins are already taken care of. Now, listen, I'm not preaching that you can get out here and live like you want to. The Lord will whip you, take you out behind the woodshed and give you the whipping of your life, Christian, if you get out here and live like the devil. But I'm just saying that if the devil blindsides you and the flesh, the weak flesh causes you to sin, the blood of Jesus Christ already has taken care of your sins. You say, preacher, I can understand how already my sins in the future are taken care of. How can that be? Well, folks, when Christ died on the cross, this is simple. All of our sins were future, weren't they? Huh? You weren't even born yet. Most of you weren't. Some of you look like you're getting about that age. But when Christ died on the cross almost 2,000 years ago, every one of our sins were future, weren't they? And he forgave us. Okay. And if you and I have come to Christ and have been regenerated and been saved by faith, grace through faith, then all of your sins, past, present, and future, have been put under the blood. As we used to sing, my sins are blotted. Let's see. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now I'm free, and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally, praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E gone. And that's true. That's a simple little song, but that's great theology. When a Christian sins, now he loses his joy. And when he confesses his sins, that joy is restored, but the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from all sin. The blood speaks to us of sanctification. Then another thing I want to call your attention to, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks to us, we who are saved now, of our rights of supplication. There is no access into the presence of God except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can approach our Heavenly Father except he comes to God on the basis of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross. Turn back just a few pages to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now here is our invitation. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now in Revelation 1, 5 and 6, it says that Christ washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings, wait a minute now, and priests unto God. We become get into the royal family, we become kings, and we become priests when he washed us in his blood. Do you see that? Now in the Old Testament, there was the Levitical priesthood and the high priest in God's economy in the Old Testament. And God would allow only the high priest to come into the tabernacle later on in the temple. There was the most holy place where the ark there, where the presence of God was. And the high priest could only go in behind the curtain into the very presence of God on the Day of Atonement once a year. And he had to first of all offer a sin offering and sprinkle the blood for the people and sprinkle the blood for himself. The blood of the people had to be atoned for. His own sins had to be atoned for. And then when that was taking place, he could go into the presence of God, and God would accept him, and he would one more time, for one more year, the sins of the people were covered. However, on the bottom of his robe, his high priestly robe, there were little bells all around on the bottom of the robe. And the people would listen as the high priest would go in to the very most holy place, into the presence of God, to sprinkle the blood for the covering for Israel's sin for one more year. And they'd listen as long as the bells were sounding. That means that the high priest was alive, because if he went in and they had not made proper atonement for their sin, and for the high priest had made proper atonement for his sin, God would kill him. Because God would not accept the high priest coming in to offer the sacrifice for their sins except that the nation and the high priest was under the blood. And if the bells kept ringing and the high priest came out, they would rejoice, because God forgave their sin and accepted their sacrifice for one more year, and their sins had been atoned for. It was a wonderful sight and a wonderful sound to those who could hear when the high priest, the bells were still ringing when he went into the presence of God. That meant that God had accepted him, and that he had access into the very presence of God. Now, when Christ died on Calvary's cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And that means that no longer can just a high priest go into the presence of God, but we today who have been saved and under the blood, we have become priests unto God, and we, each one of us, can go into the presence of God for ourselves. If you're under the blood today and you're saved, you have access into the very presence of God. That means we're believer priests. And our access is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that every day, a child of God, when our problems come and our troubles come and difficulties come, we can go into the presence of our Heavenly Father. We don't. It's not just a once a year. Though in the Old Testament, they could only go in God's presence once a year. We can go every day, many times during the day. We can take our burdens and our problems to the Lord in prayer. Isn't that a wonderful privilege to take everything to the Lord in prayer? The blood speaks to us of supplication and prayer and access into the very presence of God. Let me call your attention to one other thing. The blood also speaks to us of security. Security. Security is a big thing to everyone. We want job security. We want financial security. We want security in our marriage. We want security for our old age. We want security for eternity. And the blood of Jesus Christ speaks to us of security from the wrath of God and safety from the storms of a coming judgment. In Exodus, and we won't turn to this because of time, but in Exodus 11 and 12, down in Egypt, God told Moses, "Tell my people that I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt at midnight, and every firstborn from Pharaoh on the throne to the lowest person in Egypt, every firstborn in every family is going to die. Now here's your security. Here's your safety." He said, "Take every man a lamb and slay the little lamb. Catch that blood of that little lamb in a basin. Take a hyssop and apply it to the side doorpost of each side of the door and the doorpost above." And he said, "When I pass through the land of Egypt at midnight, when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And everyone that night who believed God and killed the little sacrificial lamb. By the way, that little lamb speaks of Jesus Christ, who would later on come. I don't have time to go on that. But anyway, that night those who slayed the little lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and got inside the house under the blood, that night at midnight, those under the blood, not one person died in their family. But throughout the land of Egypt that night, those who were not under the blood, those who laughed at that and mocked at it, that night the firstborn of man and animal and every family perished who were not under the blood. And that let me say just a word, that Passover lamb in Exodus 11 and 12 is a picture of Christ, the greatest picture of Christ found in the Old Testament. For 1 Corinthians 5, 7 says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I don't have time to develop that point, but Jesus came as God's sacrificial lamb, and he died and shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. When John the Baptist saw Jesus there on the banks of the River Jordan, saw him coming, before he started his earthly ministry, John said, when he saw Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Christ shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross. But folks, it's up to each one of us to get under the blood. Under his blood, you're safe for time and eternity. I'm glad over 40 years ago that I went to a mourner's bench at a revival down in my hometown, got on my knees when somebody told me about Jesus. And there that night, over 40 years ago, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and got under the blood. and the unseen I haven't been all I should have been. I've confessed that many times. But the unseen hand of God has guided me down through life. In spite of my mistakes, in spite of my errors, God's been good to me. He's good to all of His children and helps us down through life. And He'll help us on safely to the other side because we're under the blood. Recently, when I had my health problem, I had peace as I faced death. Why? Because I was under the blood. The only thing that matters, your education doesn't bother me this morning. Lack of it, or if you have all kind of education, amounts that much to me. Your money means nothing to me, and I know it doesn't mean anything to God. And your prestige or your talents or your looks mean nothing. The only thing that really matters are you under the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else really matters. Doesn't matter what people think of me as long as I'm under the blood. Everybody under the blood, God smiles on their life. Now, we're going to have trouble and tribulation trials. Don't get me wrong. But, brother, we can have the blessing of God on our life. I'm glad I got under the blood almost 44 years ago. Folks, deathbeds are calling. Judgment is coming. Come to Jesus this morning and get under the blood of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now folks, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Let God, the Holy Spirit, speak to your heart this morning. He's testifying of the eternal blood of the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. You're either under the blood or you're not under the blood this morning. Are you under the blood? I'm not asking you, are you a church member? It doesn't matter what, it doesn't impress me. It doesn't impress me if you're a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The thing that impresses me and I want to shout about, are you under the blood? If you're under the blood, I'll shout with you. If you're not, it's sad to be a member of this church and not under the blood. It's sad to be a member of the Methodist church or the Christian church or the Presbyterian church or the Catholic church or the Episcopalian church and not under the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if you're not under the blood, there's no safety for your soul. You're not ready to meet God. You're not ready for the judgment. You're not ready to live and you're not ready to die if you're not under the blood of Jesus Christ. How many can say this morning, preacher, I'm glad there was a time I received Jesus Christ as my Savior where I saw that I was lost and needed a Savior for my sins. And I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and I'm under the blood and I rejoice in it today. Raise your hand if you're under the blood this morning. You can say that. Wave it a little bit. Wave it a little bit. Don't be ashamed if you're under the blood. Yes, hallelujah. Put your hands down. Now, how many say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm under the blood. I don't know for sure if I'd die right now that I'd be saved. And your only peace of mind as you face eternity is to get under the blood. To get under the blood. Oh, listen, members of I'm responsible to every one of these members of this church to tell you, you got to get under the blood. You got to get under the blood. If not, there's no salvation for your never dying soul. How many say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm under the blood this morning. Pray for me. Pray for me. Just lift your hand up right now. Let me pray for you. Just lift that hand up and I'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe those this morning say, preacher, I'm under the blood, but God's spoken to my heart. I'm a Christian, but I need to get some things right with God. There's some things I need to do. I need to move up close to the Lord. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Three of you raised. And anyone else? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm under the blood. I'm not sure if I'd die right now, I'd be saved. Or maybe you are saved. You say, preacher, there's a spiritual need in my life. Pray for me. Anyone else? Slip your hand right up, and I'll remember you in a word of prayer. Oh, listen. God wants to do something for your soul today. He's been waiting all these years for you to get right with Him and get reconciled with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And get under the blood. Oh, make it this morning. Don't let another day, another moment slip until you get under the blood of Jesus Christ. right now, anyone, if there's that doubt in your soul, you ought to come and say, Lord, I trust Jesus. I want to get under the blood today. You ought to say that. Slip your hand. Let me pray for you. Anyone like that? Oh, do it. In this crowd, I'm sure there's people right now that's not under the blood. And, oh, my heart goes out to you. You're going to live and die without God's blessing. You're going to live and die and go out into eternity without God, without Christ, without hope. You better get under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more time, anyone, for any reason. Maybe some of you here need to get baptized. You've never been baptized. You say, preacher, pray for me in this area. I've not been baptized. Pray that the Lord will help me make the right decision on that. Is anyone like that? Just lift your hand up. Pray, yes. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Pray with me, preacher, about this thing of being baptized. Anyone else? Put your hand back down. Yes. Maybe you're trying to find a church home and you want God's help on this. Pray for me, preacher, that God lead in this matter of a church home. Anyone like that? Pray with me, preacher, about this. Anyone else? Anyone else? Right before we pray. Any reason, God speaking to your heart. Pray for me. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer. Thank you we have access into the presence of God through that shed blood on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, we who are saved can rejoice in our position, our standing in the Lord under the blood. We have security and safety for the future under the blood. I pray for these this morning that don't have this security, that don't have this peace, that come from getting under the blood. May they come today and get under the blood, come to Jesus and just come trust Him. Now, Lord, we know when they just trust Jesus, then, Lord, you'll place them under the blood. And I pray for that Christian here needs to get back in the will of God. I pray for that one that needs to be baptized, that one that needs to join the church. Pray you'd lead them. Have your way. Spirit of God, open men, women, boys, and girls' hearts to the things of the Lord this morning, we pray. Holy Spirit, do your work, office work of conviction now. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I'm going to stand and sing just as I am without one plea. And if the Lord spoke into your heart, neighbor, let me tell you, you better get under the blood. I've been preaching this message for, well, pretty close to 40 years now. A little less than 40. Been saved a little over 40. I'm going to preach it the rest of my life. I'm going to die preaching nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You won't make it without the blood. There's no way you're going to make it without the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your heart and life. You better start moving toward God. God's giving you another chance. Some of you are going to sit right there. You're going to walk out those doors. You're going to die and be lost. Because God's given you one more chance to get under the blood. I'm glad that night I didn't go there to get saved. But I got in. Got under the blood. And folks, all you have to do is just come on to Jesus and He'll take care of everything. Just come on to Him. Trust Him. Just take Him and He'll take care of everything. Come on, good Jesus. Oh, don't walk out of here. Young people, get under the blood. Sin will destroy you. You're no match for the devil out there, young people, unless you can get under the blood. And then the Lord will help you down through life. And just get under the blood. Young people, if you miss the blood, miss Jesus, you're going to wreck your life. Come on. Come on to Jesus. Let's stand and sing 282. Meet me right here. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. Whatever the decision is, just come on right now. Meet me here. We'll pray with you. You can settle this thing. You raised your hand. Everyone, just come and let's pray and settle this same thing. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but there at thy blood, I surrender.
Others of you, come on. Come on over
here. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark thought to thee whose blood can cleanse, reach but O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's wait before we sing the next verse. Now, folks, I wish I could do a lot better, but I can't. That's a good thing to do. I wish I was a far better preacher than what I am, but that's a good thing to do. To tell you, you've got to get under the blood. Brother Sandy, I don't know anything else, do you? I don't know anything else. Don't let anybody else tell you you're going to make it to heaven if you don't get under the blood. You better get under the blood. Well, I wouldn't take a chance with my soul. I wouldn't take a chance. You say, preacher, I don't want to come out in front of this big crowd. Forget the crowd. Forget the crowd. Forget them. I wouldn't worry about what this crowd. I'd worry about what God, who made every one of us, and we're but made of the dust of